everybody. Tonight's show is a Positude Powwow, and I have, again, as my very special guest, Peter Kling, author of Letters to Earth, The Future is Yours. And tonight's show, we're going to focus on prophecy. So I'm going to let Peter just expound on whatever he'd like to talk about. I have a few questions for him, but I feel that with everyone out there producing YouTube videos and books and doing lectures, blogs, articles on prophecy, what's to come, what is our future as a planet, I think that it's very important to be able to have somebody that's knowledgeable, that I feel is very legitimate in the subject, share his opinion so we can get that information out to our listeners. Peter, are you with me?
All the way.
Well, thanks for coming on tonight again. I really so much appreciate this.
And it's I'm a just pleasure gonna being
let you... here. Oh, thank you so much. I'm just going to let you roll with it. One of the questions that I have, though, that frequently comes up in conversation is, where are we in regards to the biblical timeline? If you'd like to speak to that and then just take it in whatever direction you like.
Oh, you know, that's a good question. And when we start to look at actual dates or make prediction on dates, I have not been right yet. And nobody can be. And it's not that I've given specific dates. I never give a specific date on something. I say we could expect this to happen by. However, there's a lot of things that I've said that we could expect to have happen that haven't happened yet. The one caveat I always give is that we need to follow the progression of the prophecies. You can't have prophecy B happen before prophecy A. It's just not the way it works. And so when we are astute of what the prophecies are actually about, what they're telling us, and how we can actually match them up with world events, then we can start to build a timeline. So something that's very important is to be abreast, be very aware of what is going on in the world. What major events are taking place in the world that will have major impacts? Okay? I'll give you one prime example. And typically, I look for anomalies. I look for something that's not supposed to be there. Something I did do, you know, I got totally frustrated back in October of 2010. And the reason I got frustrated was I had lots of new age people that were posting, oh, 10-10-10 is coming. You know, this started actually in September, you know, and they're talking about 10-10-10. I'm like, okay, what's 10-10-10? And then there's 11-11-11. Oh, that's going to be next year. And I'm like, okay, well, time to do some more research. And so 10-10-10 was kind of like an awakening moment. And I wasn't, you know, okay, well, what are we going to be awakened to? I didn't see any major things happening within the world. And I got really frustrated with this one person that kept on posting about 10-10-10. And I replied to them, and this was on Facebook, and I replied to them, okay, I get 10-10-10, I get 11-11-11, I even understand 12-12-12. But the dates that we have to be careful of are 3-13-13 and 4-14-14. And I said it out of a state of frustration and anger with no support to back those dates up. You know, it was like, hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. And I got a rabbit this time. How about that? Now, you know, after I said it and I posted it, it was just one of those things, you know, bang, and hit it. Then I thought, why did I say that? And so the first thing I did was, you know, start Googling 3-13-13, and I couldn't find anything about nothing significant, you know, and this is 3 years in advance, so these are things that people are planning, mostly sporting events and, you know, things like that, but there's nothing significant about 3-13-13, and so I go to 4-14-14, and it's like, uh-oh, it's a blood moon. It's a blood moon on the Passover. Well, it's a blood moon on the actual Nisan 14, which is the memorial of Jesus' death. That is when the Last Supper and the contract between him and his disciples took place. That's when the contract for the kingdom with them happened. And that was by the breaking and eating of bread, which was to symbolize Jesus' body, and the drinking of wine, which was to symbolize his blood. And so that we are in the same mind, body, and soul as Christ is in this venture. And that's pretty much what that symbolized. It essentially was to establish the ruling heirs of his kingdom to come. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about a kingdom here. There is nothing religious about a kingdom. Now, okay. with that said, here we have a third of the Earth's population believes in this Christ figure, that and there's a whole religion set up. As a matter of fact, there are, believe it or not, there are well over 30,000 different sects of Christianity. How do you break down the Christian Greek scriptures into over 30,000, it's approaching 40,000, believe it or not. Well over 30,000 different ways to divide what Jesus said, really? I just don't get it. I don't get it, but obviously neither do a lot of people, and that's why there's so many different sects, because they put their faith in religious dogma. That's one thing that I've never had the disadvantage of, learning religious dogma or doctrine. As a matter of fact, my upbringing was quite the opposite. I learned biblical history and prophecy. It's all based on timing, the repeating of events. And prophecy works on, in the Hebrew scriptures, it typically works on three different levels. In most of the Christian Greek scriptures, it works on two levels. And Revelation primarily works on a level all of its own. And anyone who proceeds to examine the scriptures or the prophecies, and they have been infected with religious dogma and doctrine, very rarely will they ever come up with the correct answer, because they follow religious dogma and doctrine. It's just that simple. I was separated, or let's say I was split in my education and my upbringing and knowledge of scriptures. And the reason why I say I was split, and this was an event that happened when I was 9 years old, I actually had a dream, which I lived through about a week later. And you know, it frightened the tar out of me, and I ran home and told my mother about it. And it was my job to walk the family dog, which was a trained guard dog. And we're talking about 1965 here, so the streets were pretty safe back then. Everybody knew who everybody else was. And right. There was very little danger of me, you know, something, me being accosted, especially with the dog. But anyway. But when this dream happened, I went racing home with the dog, because I saw exactly what I saw in my dream. And I ran up the stairs. My mother was washing the evening dinner dishes, and I was all out of breath. I said, Ma, I just had a dream that came true. And all she said was, "That's nice, honey. It's time for you to go to bed." And I was like stunned. I was besides myself, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I just had the most amazing thing that has ever happened in my life. It scared the tar out of me. And Mom just sent me to bed. And I lay there and lamented the whole situation until I fell asleep. And I knew that Daniel was given to, not Daniel, the prophet Samuel was given to the temple when he was 5 years old. And Father Yahweh started using him at 8 years old. And I'm thinking, you know, here I am 9 years old, and I'm just a kid. Come on. This stuff only happened in the Bible. But what it did, it created a paradox in my life, because the spiritual door got shut. And that's when I decided I need to learn. You know, obviously I recognized the fact that seeing something in the future had a big advantage. And knowing how to control and use that information would certainly be something that would be beneficial. And I had to know how it was possible. How did I see this? And so I went down the path of science. So I literally grew up with a test tube in one hand and the Bible in the other. And I put them together around 1980 and started coming up with real answers. So they were the scientific answers to a lot of biblical questions. You know, it's one of the amazing ones is the creation of Eve. And you ask any priest and they say, "Oh, that's a holy mystery." And it's interesting This was just before Letters to Earth was published, and I was dating a nice Catholic woman, very devout Catholic woman, and I was explaining that Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 23 was a record of genetic engineering. And if you read the account, it says that God saw that it wasn't good for the man to be alone, so he caused a sleep to come over him, and he opened up his flesh, and he removed a rib, and he proceeded to build, and he closed the flesh, God closed the flesh. And he proceeded to build a woman out of the rib, and he brought the woman before the man, and the man said, "At last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one was taken from man. I shall call her woman." And so here we had a record of genetic engineering, and we can do the same thing today. Does that mean we're God? So I explained this to this, you know, this just wonderfully devout Catholic woman, and I said, "You ought to go tell your priest about this." She said, I will. I said, "You can tell him, look, Father, holy mystery solved." I never heard from her again. She didn't return a message. She wouldn't return a text. She wouldn't return an email. She's probably got sore knees saying Hail Marys for solving the holy mystery. So, yeah, you see what happens with dogma is that it puts us in a state of ignorance. But when we've turned to science, now we can start to explain how these things are possible and how they happen. And the truth is that our sciences didn't advance far enough until the turn of the century, and still we're learning and we're advancing science. And so the more that they advance, the better we can comprehend what's going on. Three of the greatest leaps in science: genetic engineering, string theory, and fractal science. With those three things, we can pretty much explain everything that's going on within the scriptures. But this is about prophecy, so let's go to the beginning. The actual first prophecy, because we all want to know where we came from, how we got here, what our future is, and all of this I cover in Letters to Earth. The future is yours. When we look at the information that we have around us, it's like, oh, you know, ancient aliens, you know, let's go back to the aliens, and yep. We can't separate ourselves from the aliens. And who are the genetic engineers? That's the first question we can raise from Genesis chapter 2. And when we actually look at the fossil record, we can go back to the Precambrian era, and we see that virtually not much life existed on planet Earth. It was all pretty much single cell life, cyanobacteria, extremophile bacteria, nothing really multicellular, nothing much further advanced than basically jellyfish. And then all of a sudden the Cambrian period comes, and there is an explosion of life on this planet like there has never been here ever since. There was more variety of life during the Cambrian period. Since then, we have gone through several extinction-level events, and we're going through one now, as a matter of fact. But so we have the genetic engineers that engineer life on Earth. It didn't all happen in 6 days, and no, it didn't. We didn't just evolve. Once we start looking at evolution with genetic engineering, then we can say, "Oh, what a much better idea!" Yeah, we can see how this took place and how modifications were made. But that forces academia to admit that, "Ooh, we are not alone. There is a higher power." And yeah, when right. we get further involved into string theory and fractal science, there has to be a higher power. I had a cousin I've got a cousin. She was an atheist until she's older than I am, and maybe one of my inspirations, because she studied biochemistry and she was an atheist. Her and my mother used to have some fantastic conversations, both sides of the coin. But by the time she got her master's degree, she finally admitted, yes, there is a God. There has to be a divine providence that has created this order that she's seeing under the microscope. And indeed there is, and fractal science helps us comprehend this. However, we're talking about prophecy today, so let's go right to the first prophecy. You see, the whole problem started in Genesis, the first chapter. We're told pretty much, once we comprehend that, okay, this planet was under the influence of genetic engineers. Who are the genetic engineers? My guess is that the entity that we call Satan was head of genetic engineering, because he was a good guy once upon a time.
Yeah.
No, he was a good guy. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, there's the third, where it talks about the king of Sire and the king of Sidon and Tyre. It eventually you have to come to the conclusion that this entity that we call Satan was the covering cherub of Eden. And so if he was given the title of covering cherub of Eden, then he must have been head of genetic engineering. But you see, the problem was that he went from head of genetic engineering to the covering cherub of Eden, which means his job as head of genetic engineering was over. And now he was what? A babysitter. And so with the Watchers, his whole genetic engineering staff. See, they became babysitters. And what Father Yahweh did was said, let us create man in our image. So man was not going to be a lower life form. He was going to be another child of Father Yahweh, another complete spiritual being within a physical realm. Now, most people believe that we are in dimensions 1, 2, and 3. No. We are in dimensions 8, 9, and 10. That is the physical realms of the 10-dimensional multiverse in which we live. Without the dimensions of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, ooh, a spiritually complete number, dimensions 8, 9, and 10, a physically complete or earthly complete number, according to biblical what we find within the scriptures, could not exist. So there has to be that seven dimensions, that spiritually complete number, for the earthly complete number of 10 to exist. Oh, wow, that falls right into string theory, doesn't it now? How about that? So let's go on from there. But that's just where we came from. But here's the thing. You took the genetic engineers who did a fantastic job on this planet, who now were reduced to babysitters. And, you know, you take everything from the oldest children and you give it to the babies. How do you think the oldest children feel?
Mm-hmm.
You see, they had Neanderthal man serving them. They had Cro-Magnon man serving them. They probably had trained apes way back when to do different tricks. You know, it was their planet until it was given to us. And so the saga starts. They wanted their planet back. They wanted dominion over man. And so we get the story of what happens in Genesis chapter 3. And this is actually the first prophecy in the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 3:15. This is something that we're actually experiencing right now. And this is after both Adam and Eve eat the fruit. And Father Yahweh finds out about it. And he turns around and is issuing judgment time. And in Genesis 3:15, he says, and he's speaking to the serpent, or who we now call the devil or Satan, the devil, the deceiver, or Satan, the slanderer. That's what those names mean. The original no name.
Right?
Think about that. The original no name. Yes, the original no name. And for those of you who got that, you're all laughing now. Good. But this is what it says. This is what Father Yahweh says, I shall put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you in the head and you will bruise him in the heel. Now, the woman that is being spoken of here is not Eve. It's Yahweh's woman, because it's the seed of this woman that brings the Messiah. But wait a minute, there's two different seeds. I shall put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed, the serpent seed, the reptilian seed, the cold-blooded, hardened killers of this planet, and her seed, the woman's seed, those who look at the surroundings of what is going on and are crying and moaning over the conditions, those who are upset with what we are seeing, those who are the meek who shall inherit the earth. Meek is not weak. It means you can put up with a lot of nonsense. You can deal with a lot of, you can endure through a lot of pain before you finally have to break down and take tremendous action. And that's what meek people do. You know, it's kind of like that song, The Coward of the County. You know, everybody thought he was a coward until they went too far and then he beat all their butts.
You know, Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers did that, yes. And so that's basically, you know, that was a meek man. He endured a lot of things, but they went too far. And you see, now they've gone too far because we find out what they're doing to our children. And so the serpent seed is about ready to get the bruise to the head. In other words, it will be brought down. Now, the bruise to the heel of the woman seed was when the Messiah was actually put to death. Very painful experience. But, you know, if we bruise our heel, we hurt, depending on how badly we bruise it, we can hurt for several weeks, maybe even a few months. It might be one of those things that just kind of linger for the rest of our lives. But you get bruised in the head and it's pretty much game over. And that's the time it is now for the people of this planet who are of that reptilian seed. You want to know why the UFO community talks about reptilians and Dracos and all of their crew? Yeah, because it's they're all part of the satanic empire. And they've really captured planet Earth. Now, here's the thing. Those who are listening to this program, congratulations. Most likely, you are of the woman's seed, or are woman's seed dominant. We pretty much have almost a 50-50 blend. However, there are more people that have the reptilian seed and much, much fewer people that actually have the woman's seed. But, you know, it's like, well, let's face it, some of our family think we're nuts. Oh, you're crazy. That'll never happen. Yeah. Uh-huh. And now, wait until after this year's done. See how crazy we are. You know, how many people still believe that 9/11 happened, was done by a bunch of cavemen? Oh, righty then. Cavemen from Afghanistan came and they hijacked high-tech airliners and did an unbelievable performance, especially with the Pentagon and how they flew it in at ground level right into the side of that building. And how the whole jet just got sucked right into that building, wings, tail, and all, just right in that tiny little hole. And then the whole front of it came down, made a big hole. So, you know, it's all orchestrated. It all depends on who's conducting the music. Who's the conductor? We know the tune. At least if you've done the research, if you're familiar with the sound of the music, you'll know the tune when you hear it. And so that's why many people are waking up today. You see, that woman's seed is becoming activated. So is the serpent seed. That's why we see the country divided as much as it is. I'm not saying the woman's seed has gained the White House. I'm just saying the serpent seed is so bent on destruction that at its height, it doesn't care who it destroys. It's kind of like a snake that is in its death throes that will bite anything close to it. And that's pretty much where we are now, because we're at the end of the system, and indeed everyone is getting desperate. But here we are. That's why we are seeing this division between the woman seed and the serpent seed. And that's the serpent seed being exposed has a lot to do with the pedophilia and child trafficking, and even worse, child sacrifice that's going on around the world, which seems to be spearheaded by the Holy Roman Empire or the Catholic Church.
Yeah, for the most part.
All roads still lead to Rome. They all still lead to Rome. So where are we? Where are we? How far out are we? I talked about an interesting date earlier, 3/13/13. You know what happened on 3/13/13? Any idea?
You tell me. I read the book. Let's tell the listeners.
this actually isn't in the book, but what happened on 3/13/13, and the book we're talking about is Letters to Earth, The Future is Yours. What actually happened on 3/13/13 is one of the greatest anomalies ever, and most people never recognized it, even though there were other books written about it, including Petros Romanos, the last Pope.
Oh, that's right, the Pope. Yeah, I'm with you. You're right, that wasn't in the book. I had seen that in one of your interviews.
It was 3/13/13 that the world got an illegal Jesuit Pope. Now, the reason why I say illegal is because it is against the Catholic Church's own law for Jesuits to hold the position or office of Pope. Why did they break the law? Why did they go contrary to their own law, knowing it full well, and elect a Jesuit as Pope? That's an anomaly. That's a marking time.
Yeah.
Okay? So what I had said back in around 10-10-10, the Great Awakening or Enlightenment, actually came to pass. You see, 3-13-13 was a very significant day. Now, I had done some backtracking because of what I found with 4-14-14, but this wasn't just a lunar eclipse, a full-blood moon on Passover. You see, this was the start of four lunar eclipses, four totally blood moons, landing all on high Hebrew holidays. The two right. most important days these blood moons were landing on over from 2014 to 2015. The last of the blood moons was in September of 2015. We're going to come back to this. But also in between that, there were four solar eclipses, two total, two partial, all of them on important Jewish holidays, except for the one, I think, partial, which was actually the beginning of the Jewish New Year. Not Rosh Hashanah, the actual, I believe it would have landed on, it was on Nisan 1st, which is the beginning of the actual biblical year, regardless. But it was still all significant times that these lunar eclipses took place. Now, this is important. We're going to cover this because here on Hebrew holidays, so just after we get an illegal pope, we have the sun is darkened and the moon is turned to blood. There are five prophecies that deal with this. Plus, we've got the account in Exodus, the 9th chapter, where the sun is darkened for 3 days, which was a plague against the Egyptian god Ra, against the sun god itself. So it showed that Father Yahweh had power over Ra, even though it could have been a natural celestial event. But when's the last time we've seen a solar eclipse last for 3 days? But you know what does line up with that event of blocking the sun for 3 days? The passing of a brown dwarf star, possibly the Nibiru. You see, something happened to block out the sun for 3 days. And in the Coburn Bible, which is believed to be text given, it's a combination of Egyptian text and ancient Celtic texts, where they talk about the destroyer, they're talking about this very event. It's chapter 3 within the Coburn Bible. You read that and it's like, no, you don't want any of that stuff, but yet it matches what it says in Revelation. So,
how do you spell that, Peter? That Bible?
I believe it's K-O-L-B-U-R-N. Let me look it up real quick here.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'd like to check into that.
Not an issue. Miss Colburn. There we go. I mispronounced it. K-O-L-B-R-I-N. The Colburn Bible. You can find a copy of it online, or you can go buy a copy of it. But it's they're ancient texts that talk about this very subject. And it in the Colburn Bible, it says that there's going to be massive death. However, those who are strong of heart will survive. Interesting. Okay. Let's see. We have to be refined by fire. Whatever. We'll get through this. We know the prophecies, and the prophecies clearly state that there would be an uncountable number of people that would live through this coming event.
To wonder what's gonna happen to me. I can't pay my bills or cure my ills. I can't afford to buy no pills. There's no one else to care for. hungry, having nothing to eat. Make me wonder what's gonna happen to me.
We're going to go back here and we're going to talk about what events that we were told to watch out for. And everybody kind of knows these. It's from Matthew, the 24th chapter, where Jesus' disciples, you know, come to him and on the Mount of Olives, and they ask him privately, you know, this is chapter 24, verse 3. They tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your presence and the conclusion of this system of things. Now, interesting, the first thing that Jesus said to them, in answer, Jesus said to them, look out that nobody misleads you. Look out that nobody misleads you. We have a lot of people that are misleading us, whether they're connected to the conspiracy end of it, whether they're connected to politics, whether they're connected to MUFON and the alien movement. There's a lot of people that are misleading us, especially in the alien movement.
Right.
Beware of this. Who controls the narrative? Who controls the narrative that is being released to the people? Now, a lot of people have had their own encounters. I've had my own encounter, but I can link that back to a Freemason incident, but that's not for this show. We are dealing with certainly what we would call extraterrestrials, but who exactly are we dealing with? You see, now we're right back in the hands of the satanic empire. So who controls the narrative? Oh, these are the good guys. They're here to save us. Really?
Yeah, right.
Why don't we have any advanced technology given to us? Why is the military the only one getting the advanced technology? Why do they know how to kill people on a wholesale level? And we're given the scraps. Oh, we got Ziploc bags. Great. Come on. That was one of the things that we got from the space program, allegedly, was Ziploc bags. The one thing that we gave the space program, Tang, for those people who had Tang growing up. But anyway, yeah, that's the one thing that they didn't have to dehydrate. They just added water to that. But, we're given nothing, even though there are people coming out with zero-point energy.
Oh, we can't make any money on zero-point energy, especially if John and Joe invented it in their garage.
There was a man who invented a refrigerator that didn't need to be plugged in. You purchased the refrigerator, you started it up, and that was it. It ran on its own energy. California Power and Light sued him to keep this off the market.
Right.
They sued him. They kept it out of court. They tied him. First of all, they tied him up in court for years. And after they broke this guy, they finally settled out of court. And this guy was given a gag order, I guess, where he was not allowed to talk about the settlement or anything else about this refrigerator ever again. So they probably, you know, made him a multimillionaire and said, go away. But think about all the billions of dollars they could have saved in electric.
Right.
No, can't have that happen. Can't have, you know, you go back to the 1970s and our cars don't get any better gas mileage. They got smaller and lighter. They put computers in them and the computers give us the same basic gas mileage as what the cars got back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
So where's all this great technology? We're not privy to it. So, you know, we're being misled, and that's obvious once we start using common sense and asking the right questions. So whether it's being misled by the government, those people in charge, or being misled by the church, or as Jesus said, many will come on the basis of my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. So false messiahs. Boy, haven't I had my share of them crop up. I had one person tell me that they were the Messiah. I said, really? Okay. Can you tell me who the woman is? What woman? Well, aren't you supposed to be from the woman's seed? What woman's that? Where can I find out about it? Yeah, I asked an obscure question about the woman's seed, and they had no clue about what I was talking about. Ah, so you're a Messiah. You're the coming of Christ. You're who God sent. Mm-hmm. Which God? You see, and that's what it boils down to, which God? Because all the nations had gods, and even Father Yahweh in the first commandment says, you must not have any other God before me.
Yeah,
so it was those alien wannabe gods who we have now. You know, I haven't heard that Zeus has come back. I haven't heard that any of the other gods made their way back. Oh, wait a minute, one Marduk. Yeah, but that's the Mandela effect, and that's a whole nother show. Yeah, Marduk was actually Anu. Marduk was the god that the three Hebrew boys would not, or men, young men, would not bow down through to, and Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace and then said, hey, how many guys we throw in there? Was it three or four? Well, it was three, my lord. Why are there four walking around in there? Who's the fourth guy? And so he calls out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he finally admits, hey, Father Yahweh is more powerful than Marduk. How about that, Nimrod? So, absolutely. And yet we have Marduk back. You can do your own research on that. As a matter of fact, that leads to one of the prophecies, which we probably won't have time for, but the prophecy in Revelation 9 of the pit of the abyss being opened, which I believe happened in 2012 and 2013, we got the Mandela effect, but that ritual funeral was actually the celebration of the release of Marduk. It was when CERN opened the pit of the abyss, or the dimension into Tartarus, was 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So that's already happened. Anybody that's waiting for that to happen, you don't have to wait any longer. It already happened. It's part of history. That's why Mandela died twice. Look at all the dignitaries that went down to the Mandela ritual funeral for 10 days. And then ask yourself, why smack on this? Mandela died on the 5th, and his funeral lasted until the 15th. But yeah, on the 10th, the scientist who found the God particle were given the Nobel Peace Prize. So right smack during the Mandela ritual funeral, those who plucked the hair of God, Father Yahweh himself, and opened the portal to Tartarus were given the Nobel Peace Prize. Like I said, that's a whole nother show to get into that. But when we continue into Matthew, the 24th chapter, it also talks about many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And we see that. Take people like, yeah, I'm going to name names. Take people like David Wilcock, who all of a sudden comes up with the blue chicken man. Oh, yeah, there's blue avians. They're going to save us. Wait a minute. Isn't Corey Good admittedly MK Ultra 30? He's MK Ultra. He's admitted that. He's a super soldier. He's worked for the military. Wouldn't you kind of suspect that he's carrying the narrative that the Pentagon or the CIA would want you to hear?
Yep.
Yeah. Use a little common sense. He's admittedly MK Ultra. Now he's talking about blue chicken people. Yep. Okay. You keep on believing aliens are here to save us. That's not been my experience. But anyway, So there's a false prophet for you. You've got a lot of people who have come up within what used to be the New Age movement and have been false prophets. And you've got false prophets all around us now. We might even consider President Trump as being a false prophet, because he's leading the country down a different path, which most people are not aware of. And hopefully we'll have time to get to it today. At least I certainly intend to. But there was something, I talked about the blood moons ending on the end of September 2015. And I'm going to touch on those directly. But Jesus went on to say, and these are the things that we were supposed to watch out for. He said, besides we're going to hear about a lot of people coming on in his name and misleading many, he said that we are going to hear reports of wars. We're going to hear of wars and reports of wars. See that you are not terrified, for these things must take place, but the end is not yet. for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be food shortages and earthquakes in one place after another. Now, we may not see a whole lot of nations rising against nations, or do we? Because we're seeing certainly kingdoms, the kingdom of Islam, rising up against the kingdom of Christianity. You don't think so? Europe is essentially under siege by Islam. There's a holy war going on there. There's just not a whole lot of shots been fired yet. How many cities have been captured and been put under Sharia law? Didn't think about it that way, did you? Yeah, that goes right along with the false prophets. Hello, Muhammad, false prophet? Yeah, do the research, and what you find is that Islam is the bastard child of the Catholic Church. And now that I've ruffled everybody's feathers, do the research. But that's what you'll find. It's also what I wrote in Letters to Earth, that the future is yours. Why do you think the Pope is so, well, here, I'll tie it right in for you. I'm going to tie it right in for you right now. He gets down and Jesus continues. He says that many false prophets are going to be brought up, and many are going to be stumbled, and the love of the greater number is going to cool off. And here's where he says, but he that has endured to the end is the one that will be saved. And he says, and this good news of the kingdom, not some religious message, the news of his kingdom will be preached to the entire inhabited earth for witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You can hear us worldwide on the L&M radio network. So there you go. Now, here's where it became real personal for me. And he continues in verse 15. Therefore, when you catch sight of the disgusting thing that causes desolation as spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in a holy place. And in parentheses, it says, let the reader use discernment. Wonder why that's there. Let the reader use discernment. It goes on to say, then let those in Judea begin fleeing to the mountains. Let those in the city begin fleeing to the mountains. He goes on to say, let the man not come down from his rooftop to take the goods out of his house. The man in the field not return home to pick up his outer garment. Just go. Okay, that was the message. When did we catch sight of the disgusting thing that causes desolation standing in a holy place? Any idea? We saw that.
When the Pope. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We saw in the year 70, interesting number, the year 70. I'm sorry, let's back up. The year 67 CE. The Roman armies came in, put Jerusalem under siege, tunneled under the wall, and came up inside the Most Holy. And then for some unknown reason, they packed their bags and left town. This was the sign for all the Christians to head to the mountains. All those who were following Jesus, all those who were part of his kingdom, headed to the mountains, never to return to Jerusalem again. In 70 CE, the Roman armies came back and circled Jerusalem and razed the city to the ground, killing 2 million Jews and taking 93,000 captive back to Rome. Those who were taken captive back to Rome assimilated themselves into European society. And that's where, essentially, that's how we get a Jewish population in Europe. But that was 2,000 years ago. Now, to think that it was the upper echelon of Judea that were taken as prisoners. And do you think for a minute that the same people whose fathers and maybe grandfathers made sure that Jesus was put to death, those same people who wanted liberation from Rome. Remember, Jesus rode into Jerusalem and everybody wanted to make him king. Why? To get rid of Rome. And then a week later they kill him because he wouldn't get rid of Rome. He was accused of blasphemy, and then he was actually put to death, and a robber and murderer was chosen over Jesus for life. Again, a prophecy fulfilled. But anyway, I digress. So here we see this disgusting thing standing in a holy place in modern times. What is that? That is the representative of the Holy Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, standing in America's holy places. Excuse me, I got the hiccups here. Standing in America's holy places, we saw him at the Capitol building telling our congressmen, our lawmakers, what to do.
Right.
One of them seemed to be a patriot and resigned on the spot. He broke down into tears as the Pope was talking because he knew what the Pope's agenda was, and it was the coming end of the United States, and he wanted no part of it and resigned. The rest of them all went along. All the rest of the swamp creatures went along with the Pope's agenda. We saw the Pope at the White House yucking it up with the transgender lover boy there, the abomination. And then we saw the Pope right in America's most dear, sacred, holy place, Independence Hall, where the forefathers of the United States declared our independence from a monarchy, because they knew that monarchies were put in place by the church, and they separated religion and state because they knew that the church would eventually put a monarchy back in if it could.
Right.
That monarchy was carried out by the Knights of Malta, of which President Reagan, President Bush, President Clinton, President Bush, Baby Bush, were all Knights of Malta, or are Knights of Malta. And the abomination has a letter of endorsement by the Knights of Malta. So the White House essentially has been under control by the Vatican for 36 years until they got trumped.
Okay. Right.
So Peter sees the thing. Now it gets personal for me, but I didn't know exactly how personal it was going to get. But I was astute enough, as somebody who studied American history as well as biblical history, that I saw the disgusting thing that causes desolation, because of I knew quite well, even in 2015, that the church was involved in pedophilia and involved in human trafficking and child sacrifice. And to me, seeing the very thing that was supposed to be kept out of our government now infiltrating it. And then the Pope goes on to the United Nations. The Whore of Babylon climbs onto the wild beast and dictates the post-2015 development agenda, which is embraced by the United Nations and by the General Assembly of the United Nations, which ends its meeting on the fourth tetrad blood moon. Ooh.
Crazy. Yeah. Peter, we are almost out of time. Would you like to come back for a conclusion of this episode?
Boy, and we didn't even make it to Revelation yet.
Yeah, I know.
Just real quick, to squeeze this in, real quick, where people want to know where we are, read 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Because going back to this illegal pope, it starts, I'm going to just read this real quick, starts actually in verse 3, let no one seduce you in any manner, because it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness gets revealed, the son of destruction. He is set in opposition and lifts himself up over everyone who is called a god or an object of reverence, so that he sits down in the temple of God, publicly showing himself to be a god. Now, who has done that? Could it possibly be the forerunner here, this illegal pope which we have, who has discredited the true God and has made the indicated that Satan is God, and now he has made himself God? From what I understand, with in the past week, he's declared himself above God. Seriously. The head of the child trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking industry. And so we're going to watch this come down. It's going to be exposed. And that's what's going on in Washington, D.C. with Trump and the draining of the swamp. The United States is controlled by the Jesuits and the Zionists, and now it's time for the Jesuits to get kicked off the horse. And by that, who controls the banking system? The Jesuits and Zionists. Where was our banking system created? The Knights Templar. Two riders on one horse going in one direction. So there's more to come on this, but that's where we are now. Things being exposed. What can we expect in the future? Expect Babylon the Great to fall, the Whore of Babylon, the church will come down due to its involvement in human rights violations. And then we can expect a one world government. So we'll cover this more. We'll cover the prophecies that back it up. Also more prophecies of where we live within this time. We're going to focus a little bit more on Revelation in the next show. How's that?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much. We just whipped right through this 55 almost minutes by the time we conclude. And thank you so much. I'd like to just make a quick note to please support L&M Network, because we are listener funded. Every donation counts. Even if you can send $5 or $10, please support Michael Vera and L&M so that we can continue to bring these wonderful shows to you in these different perspectives. Also, thank you to Pat Carr, who allows me to play his original music. You'll hear at the entry and the ending, typically with a break. But Pat Carr, you can find it, Pat Carr at pwcarrmusic.com. Check him out on SoundClick. Thank you, Peter, so much for joining us tonight. And we will continue this in another 2 weeks. Thanks for listening, all. God bless.